Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you've joined me today as we continue our journey through the book of Acts, the very first history of the Christian church. We would have no idea what to make of Paul's epistles and also the other epistles, such as Peter's two epistles and John's three epistles written to churches, the church in Ephesus, the church in Thessalonica. We would not know what to make of those if it were not for the book of Acts, because the book of Acts serves as a bridge between the Gospels, which tells us about the life and ministry, miracles, crucifixion, burial, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. But the Gospels end there. With the ascension of Jesus back into heaven and leaving his followers with the what's called the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's where the gospel's in. And the epistles begin with the realization, writing letters to churches in all these Gentile cities. But Acts fills in that space in between, and it tells us how the early Christians carried the good news of Jesus to all the known world and established Christian communities, Christian gatherings called churches. And remember, the word church in the New Testament does not refer to a building. The church was God's people gathered together, especially for worship. And so that brings us to Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In the previous lessons, we were looking at Acts chapter 1, and I think we ended last time with the 120 disciples in the upper room waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of an empowerment of the Holy Spirit called the promise of the Father, called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there they are waiting because God had a time, a set time for it to happen. And God has a time for things to come forth and to happen in your life. And we have to learn to wait upon the Lord. And so they could not make it happen, immediately. They couldn't make it happen. They were there in the upper room, I would say, for 7 days. Some say 10. I would say 7. But that's not what's important right now. But they couldn't make it happen in 3 days. They couldn't make it happen in 5 days. They had to wait until God's appointed and set time. And God's set time was on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Pentecost, the word means 50, and it refers to the New Testament to the celebration, the Feast of Pentecost, which occurred 50 days after Passover. And it was one of the three most important feast celebrations in ancient Israel. In fact, all Jewish males 18 and over were required to attend the Feast of Pentecost, as they were Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. So this means that Jerusalem would be crowded with people for this feast. And there would be Jews from all over the Greco-Roman world. And we even read about this in Acts chapter 2. And I'll just skip on down to verse 7. And this is what the crowds were saying. Because apparently when the Holy Spirit began to be poured out, and that those 120 were so filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit and speaking and praising God in other tongues, languages which the foreigners who were there crowding Jerusalem, they understood. And here's how they responded. It says, then they were all amazed. It's talking about the crowds there in Jerusalem. And marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, those are countries in North Africa, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? You know, God knows what he's doing. We need to rest in his timing. God knew that Jerusalem was going to be filled with people from all over, many different languages. And so he chose to pour out his spirit as a powerful witness and testimony. Excuse me. And this is going to result in the gospel being spread immediately all over the ancient world. What an awesome God we serve. Hey, I want to encourage you. Don't become anxious. Rest in the Lord and wait for him. There is a psalm. Let me just turn over and read this because I feel that somebody needs this today. It's in, I think it's Psalm 37 that exhorts us to wait upon the Lord, to not be anxious. Yeah, listen to this. I'll just read this. David wrote, he said, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord." And a part of trusting involves us waiting on his timing. Not talking about being passive, but it's talking about realizing that God also has a time where he wants to accomplish certain things in our lives. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Listen to this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. I'm going to read the first part of verse 70. And rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And there on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered there in the upper room. And they were spending their time in prayer. As it says in chapter 1, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And there they're waiting before the Lord in an attitude of prayer. But then when God's timing was right, then chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, in other words, everything was in place. The crowds were there from all over Egypt, Arabia, the what we would call Turkey today, Asia Minor, and parts of Europe, what we would call Europe today. People were there from all over. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, the Greek literally says here, they were all together. In other words, it wasn't just some bodies in the same room, but people having different, you know, different views and different agendas and so on. No, they were together, not only physically, but they were together in heart and mind. And when God can find some people who will get together, not only physically, but get together in mind and heart, he can do incredible things. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven. This was not their audiovisual department producing these sounds. This was not an illustrated sermon. This was something from another world. This was something from heaven. This was a visitation from heaven. And you know, we have become, in the modern church in America especially, we've become very good at producing our own sounds. Oh, but how we need to once again hear that sound from heaven. And suddenly there was a sound that came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to notice how it's all inclusive. We know there were both men and women. We read that back in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. both men and women, but God made no distinction. There was no distinction there. As our friend Pastor Bill Fish says, God did not give blue and pink tongues on the day of Pentecost. No, it says that tongues of fire set on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yeah, God was right on time. And I'll close this by saying, I do not consider this the birthday of the church, but the empowering of the church, particularly the new covenant people of God, because the word church is even used of the Old Testament saints. Of course, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but there was a Greek translation that was produced around 250 BC. It's called the Septuagint. Sometimes you'll see it written as the LXX, meaning 70, because it was reportedly produced by 70 Jewish scholars who also were Greek scholars. They produced this translation. And by the way, when New Testament writers quote the Old Testament, most of the time they quote from this Greek translation. They quote from the Septuagint. And so on the day of Pentecost, on this day of Pentecost, God chose precisely the right moment when it was going to happen. And everything came together. This was the birthday of the church. That was the reason I was talking about the Septuagint, because the Septuagint translates a particular Hebrew word as ecclesia. When it's talking about the Old Testament people of God, when they're gathered together, it uses the word ecclesia. So what I'm saying is the Greek word for church is ecclesia. That I see this, what's happening on the day of Pentecost, not as the beginning of the church, the birthday of the church, but as the promised empowering of God's people, the empowering of the church as promised by Jesus. You shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I would like to mention a book related to this that will greatly help you and stir your heart. It's called 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. And it shows how that the day of Pentecost was not just a one-time event. It was a beginning. It was the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the earth. And so I have documented outpourings of the Holy Spirit all throughout church history. It's called 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. Also have a course available, and it's called Revival History. Both of those are available on Amazon and at our website at eddiehyatt.com. And I hope you'll join me again here tomorrow. God bless you.